It's April the 10th, 2020, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ, your internet pastor, saying thank you for coming to my website today. I'm sorry that I'm coming on so late. I've been very, very, very busy talking with a lot of people, having a lot of friendly discussions. Again, thank you, Pastor James Washington, for being my guest. And I'm lining up other guests that can speak to us concerning where we are today with this coronavirus and all of that. This, for many of you that might find yourself coming to my website for the first time, welcome. I'm glad that you took out some time to come by and spend a little important time with me. And I think it's important because we should discuss these things. How are you getting along? Has the virus so depressed you that things are really getting out of hand? Because if they are, you really need to take a reanalyzation. That's what I call it. To reanalyze what's going on in your life. Hold on. Let me see who this is talking with me here. Okay. Let's see. Somebody just sent me a nice little message. That's what I'm doing. I'm such a... I'll read this message later. I'm a slave to the phone sometimes. Do you do that? You know, when somebody call you, you gotta talk to them. You gotta see what they want to talk with you about. How did your day go today? I watched a great movie. Movies are violent these days. But I want to talk with you about solutions. Because Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy, that's what you know him as. He sponsored a discourse, a talk on his internet radio show, Revolt. It's kind of like an internet station, I guess. And he had Van Jones, the ex-CNN commentator, hosting the show. And he had a number of other guests, political leaders as well as rap artists. And there's something that really grabbed my attention and I want to thank my friend Camaro for sending me the clip. I enjoy watching it. And I was, how can I say? The statistics that came out of the conversation overwhelmed me. When I heard of the number of young men that are incarcerated across the country, young black men, men of color, Hispanic, black, when I heard about the economic situation in our communities and how in certain parts of our inner cities, people are living right up on top of each other, and that distancing is something that could never take place because of the way the people live. No, I'm not drinking alcohol. I very rarely drink red wine. I think I had a glass of red wine about 2 weeks ago. And I have one bottle left in my wine cooler, and I don't plan on opening it. I've cut down on alcohol. I drink mineral water, fresh water, a coffee I love. It's a vice. I eat one meal a day, like I've been telling you for going on 3 years now. One meal. If I can get, I like a nice cut of salmon, a portion of the breast part of the salmon. And with that, I dice up a potato, add some spices, turmeric and other things that are healthy, garlic. Oh my gosh, yes. And baste it with a little olive oil and not stir fry it because you don't want it like that, but you just want to kind of like toast it. And if you really want it to toast nice, the potato as you cook it, and it cooks the potato, you add a little honey. And it is just the best stuff. It's like going out to a West Side restaurant and eating out and being treated like a king. That's what I made myself for supper tonight, that one meal. And I had a good-sized skillet. I just chopped up 3 little red potatoes. You know, the potatoes that come in the bag. And if I had gotten 1 big brown potato, one would have fed me because the way you cook it. And I even had some left over for my dog. He's comfortably asleep in his sleeping quarters now. I had a good day. Saw a lot of interesting things on the internet. And, you know, I used to spend the whole day watching Al Jazeera and other world news, Sky News, and all of that. But I'm breaking off of it because not only that Easter Sunday is coming, and this is a very good Friday. I know that a lot of people lost loved ones, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. We've only been on about 7.5 minutes here. But and I want to talk about those other things because it is very, very important for you to know this, that we should have more of a heart for what's going on in our community. You know, when I preached years ago, I have a few clips up on my Facebook page. If you guys ever want to go to John Coleman, you know, the black man with the white beard. You see me. Well, I have some of my sermons up from back in the 90s, 25 years ago. All right? And when I preached to full houses, I had the sense enough to have my crew film it, and so that I had some archived files of my life, because I talk with some of my students, and they say, John, in a few years when you die, man, you're going to become a legend. I said, oh, shoots. John Coleman has never sought to be anything, and in his own eyes, isn't anything but a man who loves God and who loves people. That doesn't promise me that my life is going to be coming up roses all the time. I ache. I ache now. I ache. And that's why I like going to bed early at night, because when I stay up and I've been moving all day, I ache. I'm a 76-year-old man. I have those feelings of aching and hurting. But guess what? When I do this, when I come in the studio, like it is right now, it's 9:32 on Friday night. And I'm usually in bed by 10 o'clock, you see. But I won't be, because it's going to take me a while to do this and to put this up. But you see what I'm talking about. I have a daily schedule, and when I go over that schedule, like I know I am tonight, I ache. But I believe that it's time for me to come out of retirement. I don't mean that I want a pulpit or I want a church, because that day and age is over. I mean coming out of retirement from loving the way I love the best. We aren't going to gain our young people if we don't love them with a tremendous amount of love. And with this love, we have to give them leverage because they don't trust us. I'm an anomaly, I think. They look at me and they say, ah, look at his hair. Why does he talk like that? He doesn't talk like the other men in our community. Oh, he was a preacher. Where's his Cadillac? His what? He does. He lives over here. See? Where will the sages be after I'm gone? What will the sage be like? Now that's something to give some thought to. You're looking for a sage, a mentor. What is he going to be like? It's a fair question. A lot of things disturbed me about that interview. Statistics, the amount of black folk getting sick from this pestilence is staggering. And it has to do with our diet, what we eat as a people, how we live as a people. And my God, they didn't even address, excuse me, I'm belching, and that's a good thing. That's why I drank this certain water. But they didn't address the child abuse that must be taking place in the black homes now, where that money isn't there. The friction of the family being that close together and without proper parental supervision and a training, the way that I was raised as a child and raised my children, they do not have that. And so they are left at the demise of their own fate. And then, they're going to open up the prisons and let the black and the Hispanic prisoners out of prison because, well, for humane reasons, number one, they would say we don't want them to get the virus, so we have to lessen the population. Or what the prisoners are saying is that there's so many of them in there that the virus is spreading in there and they aren't giving them any protection in any way to keep them from it. As a matter of fact, I saw a smuggled out video of one prisoner showing the other prisoner that has the virus, and the young lad was just in the bunk suffering. Man, that hurt me. That hurt me. Oh, that hurt me. Immediately I thought, man, if I was a basketball player like Kobe Bryant and saw something like that, I would say, you know, sell that helicopter. Donate that. To get rid of this and give me. Think about it. If every African-American athlete gave $1 million of his bounty today, I'm talking about every basketball player, football player, baseball player that makes at least $5 million a year. If they each coughed up $1 million, every professional athlete, and put it in the black bank, not the World Bank, in the black bank that we love each other so much. Well, who's going to be the president of the bank? Somebody from the Congo, Nigeria, from Westchester, that's black. He's going to be in charge of what? He's going to be in charge of the black bank. And they're going to have all black executives and everybody black. If they don't want to get with the white nations for the food and things like that, that we'll create our own food and grow it. We did it long before the Egyptian civilization existed. History has pictures of our wide noses and broad lips all over the blooming planet. And to think that we were just in one end of the world is ridiculous. Shipbuilders we were. We built nations and destroyed them and even conquered them. Ask Genghis. And now, we with all the wealth, and listen, me with all the wealth that I've thrown away over the years, think about that all being put in one man and political fervency. Wait a minute, the black man, we called our military melanin. The melanin military. Oh, what a beautiful sight. All black men lined up, strong, athletically equipped, bodies physically fit. Our women not full of drugs tearing us apart, but full of love and the willingness to have the child of that beautiful black man and to rear him, to keep our country and our land and our lives strong and safe. Oh, you have a dream, Martin. I have a stronger one than that. I want to see that in my lifetime. And I believe that it can take place, that if we beat this plague with love. P. Diddy said it. He said it at the end of the thing. Right there. I don't care what P. Diddy has done in this life, do you? He said it. That means that he spoke it. And the task exists. Here lieth the problem. Will we thinketh like the old black man under colonialism? Will we sound like a political candidate that wasted his time running when they knew they never had a chance to win? Oh, that's really playing the game. But a fool's venture. Or will we begin to think as a progressive people, loving one another, loving. There's another young man, he's a Muslim. He was on, he tried to have his little show going on Twitter, but he said that Twitter blocked him, so he immediately came on Facebook and put it up, and he was giving a categorical list of the things that black people should eat and stop eating and telling black people how to perform. How to proclaim or to prolong their lives, that is. And he said that they blocked him from doing a broadcast. I can believe it. Don't nobody want the black community to mount up and do what they're supposed to do. Our children are fighting and trying to kill each other in the middle of the street, stabbing and bludgeoning one another. Because these people grow up and they've lost a sense of who and what God is and what God is all about. Living like barbarians. living in such a way as to deny the very God that created them. Where did that come from? Love is the only thing that's gonna... We used to sing it in the church. It was a nice little song called Love Lifted Me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Y'all remember that? The verse went like this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, sinking, swimming deep within, never to rise no more. Meaning I was drowning in foolishness, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Then the chorus, love lifted me. And when everybody in the church sung that, love lifted me, we sung it in unison. When nothing else could help. And then we slowed it up. Love. We were singing it to the top of our voice. Lifted me. And then we would spontaneously clap our hands. Nobody had to tell us to do it. And we would say, amen, amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, the sisters would be singing it, and one of them would start singing it again. I remember one Sunday that song went on for 10 minutes. Everybody in the church was crying and smiling. The sisters were hugging each other, and the brothers looked like they had $1 million in the bank. Had their families, them little boys, I know, because me and my brother, we had to dress in a suit. My daddy and mama didn't have us go to church unless we had a suit. And it was on Easter Sunday morning, people, that's when I first wore that suit. And that was my Sunday go-to-meeting suit. I wore that during special events only. And when I didn't have a suit, my mom and daddy saw to it that I had one. I'm glad my little doggy let me know if anybody come around my house. And if they strangle him, I got something right next to me in this cabinet. That got, 12 or 13 issues up in there, ready to be fired. We're living in perilous times, friend. A lot of people would say, oh, Pastor John, don't you trust God? Yeah, I trust God, all right. And I also trust, where is it at? Here it is, right here. Got it in my hand right here. There it is. Oh, yeah. Hey. Room to room, that baby travel with me, because we're living in perilous times. People come in on you. Now, I don't mind them taking whatever they can take. Hey, take everything here and pawn it, sell it, whatnot. And, you know, leave me a few potatoes. I'd appreciate. Please don't hit me, because if you hit me and I hit the ground and fall, I'm going to break in two, because I'm fragile now. And then if you're a good-looking child, I probably won't shoot you, because I'm not going to shoot no brother that I love. No. I don't think I'd ever be able to kill anybody. Nah. It's not a part of me. I just want to scare people so they leave me alone. Why do I want him to leave me alone? So I can finish my task. So God would tell me, well done. Show these young'un how to love. Listen to my dog. Now watch this. Harcourt! You see, he stopped, didn't he? Yeah, he knows who's the master. Watch him come in here. There he is. Come here, boy. What was going on out there? Who was messing with you? Well, since you're a good boy, I got to give you something to eat, don't I? Oh, you look right up at those cookies up there. You guys, excuse me. My dog is crazy. How did you look up here and see this? How? He looked up and saw some Milo's kitchen. How many do I have? You think you're smart, don't you? Here. See, he comes in and he stares at me. And he looks right up. He looks right up to the shelf where the goodies are. Well, it's a very good Friday. I went on the internet and saw a few of the old-time preachers acting clownish on the internet. I would pray that one day that all that nonsense would cease to exist. That's not the religion that we need to follow. We need to listen close to the heart of God from the heart of the preacher that loves God, not the heart of a preacher that loves money more than he loves God, loves where he lives more than he loves God. The heart of a preacher. Man, if I was a preacher, this is the way I was. It was back in the day. I used to go to South Park. It was Saturday. I'd be at the church and I'd meet with the children, give them a Bible lesson. And then it was too early for me to go home. So I asked a couple of guys, go down to South Park, down on South Avalon and 60-something over there. Around there. And I would go, and there'd be a lot of druggies over there and people drinking out there. So I took the cameras. I had the video here somewhere on one of my computers. I interviewed them and asked them, why don't they attend the Christian church? I was a young man in my 40s, a young pastor. I've always been like that. And it was my way to be like that because back in the day, in the 70s, when I was a young deacon in the church and I became ordained in 1982, okay? Well, I used to do things like that. I used to be very proactive. You had one, that's enough, go play and stop making all that noise. Goodbye. I always love being an activist, and I think that, if they're coming up on you, do what you have to do. Well, I'm not gonna worry if he's not gonna worry. He sees something out there. Well, look, I tell you what, it's been about almost 30 minutes, and so I'm going to cut this short and say thank you for coming to my website on a very good Friday. See you soon. And remember, on Easter Sunday, it's going to be a brand new sermon thing that is going to be placed up on my Facebook page. And I may start putting them up tomorrow, you know. I just may do that. But anyhow, God bless. Thanks for coming to my website. And listen, one more thing. Seriously, pray for those in our community. It's rough out there.